My name is Thomas, Pastor Thomas, one of the pastors for Berwick Campus. If you're new or been visiting from another church, it's great that you can be here. We do have morning tea later on, so hopefully you can join us. So before we start this a new series next week on Daniel, we do have trainee preachers from Lickham and Berwick service to bring us the word of Daniel. So that's the next 6 weeks coming. And today, I'll be doing a three-part series regarding about the church. Since the topic was kicked off a month ago through church camp, and I'll be continuing with that. So this week we'll do some recaps, material for the people who went to the camp, but also for the people who did miss out on camp. But I will further, put more details regarding about the church, about Berwick service as well. So let's pray before I continue. Dear me, Father, as we come to you, Almighty Lord, as we hear your words through Ephesians, I pray that we have a heart to listen, ease to listen to your word. So I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wars. Wars are made to divide an area, to create boundaries. On 13th of August 1961, the construction of a wall was commenced. And this was known as the Berlin Wall, which divided the east and the west of Germany. The walls divided the nations and separated families, relatives, and friends. But this division ended in 1989, as the walls were smashed down. But there are other wars. It's no different to Berlin Wall. China is well known for the Great Wall of China. It was created to keep rabbits away. If you know that ad, you should be laughing. And it's a dad joke. It's my only dad joke I had this morning, so I'm allowed to do that. But seriously, the wall was to keep enemies away. Keep enemies away from the capital. But this war still remains today. By saying that, even today, new wars are being made or being proposed. As we know, Trump wants to build a wall to divide America and Mexico. And all these wars were built to divide people. And think about it. War have fences at home. And why do we have it? It's to divide and separate what belongs to you and what belongs to your neighbour. By saying that, wars, whether small or big, all comes and goes. Built, destroyed, and sometimes rebuilt. But today we read about a war that was destroyed and never to be rebuilt. Was a war which would remain broken forever for mankind. From today's passage, Gentiles and Jews who used to be apart are now united. All are united as one community called a church. So today we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 2 and see what the text says about the church. And what barriers need to be broken first. Secondly, we'll be looking at what is the church. Thirdly, we'll investigate why as members we need to join a church. Then finally, we'll look at how we actually do church as members. So from today's passage, some part of the passage we'll cover at the church camp. And that we are reminded that we're outsiders. Unless you came from a Jewish family, where God made a promise with your great, great, great ancestor, Father Abraham. In verse 11 and 12, Paul tells the readers to remember that they were Gentiles, or known as the uncircumcised group, as the Jews were known as the circumcised group. A command for circumcision for all Jewish males were given by God to Abraham, and that's in Genesis chapter 17. And circumcision was a physical sign of the covenant, a promise with the Lord. The Lord will make them his people, his nation, their sons. The Jews had an exclusive relationship with God. So if you're not from a Jewish background, then you were excluded. And you are foreigners of the covenant given by Abraham. So this makes us stand on the other side of the wall, unless you were a Jew. However, Paul reminds the readers that their separation was in the past because of Christ's work through death on the cross. The readers are forgiven for their trespasses. And now to focus on the spiritual blessing that they have received in chapter 1, verse 3. And one of the spiritual blessings is in today's chapter, verse 13 and 14. We can see from these verses, Christ's blood had removed our separation from the Jews. We are now one, together, with no barriers, with no walls to divide one another. Gentiles and Jews are now have peace through Christ. This was important in the ancient times, especially for the Jews. For the Jews who dwelled, who hanged amongst the Gentiles, were seen as unclean. If Jews were eating with Gentiles, they were also seen as unclean. Even touching something that a Gentile had touched, they were seen as unclean. But these walls have been destroyed. But there's more. Most important, another barrier has been destroyed. Because Christ didn't just die on the cross to get rid of the walls or barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles, which is a great thing. But Christ died to break the walls and barriers between God and man. In verse 15, we need to understand what Jesus has done through the blood. Because of Christ's death, God created one humanity, reconciled both Jews and Gentiles as one. And with that, he reconciled both of them to God. In verse 16, they are now seen as one body because of the cross. So Christ's mighty work had created a new humanity through his death. And this was always God's plan, as it was only due to mankind's sin that separated us from him. So from verse 16 to 18, we are told we are all saved in the same way. We are all saved by Jesus' death on the cross, and now we have access to the Father. In verse 17, he, Jesus, preached to them peace, and Jesus also is preaching peace to us today. So when Jesus raised from the grave, and before he ascended to heaven, he spoke to his apostles. These words, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And that's in John chapter 20, verse 19 to 21. And with the gospel being preached and passed down, which is still preaching peace in our world today, people are still joining into this new humanity, basically Christians, right now by the Holy Spirit. And for people to join, we need to continue to preach the gospel to others. And also passing the gospel down to others. So let's turn to verse 19 and 22, which is the next point. We are to build and join together as a church, as a community of believers. But before looking at what is a church, let's first look at what is not a church. So firstly, we need to remember, joining a church is not necessary for salvation. Because does going to church make you right with God? Does going to church save you? Because joining a church will not save you is more than your good works, more than your education, more than your culture, your friendship, or even your baptism by water. Secondly, a church is not a building. Church is not these four walls, this roof, even the chairs, as I know people at some church has fight about the pews on the chair. Big argument, dividing people. So it's not the building where the church meets or gathers. I know some of you guys have been around long enough at Bellwood service and experience, and in fact have to deal with this. But also, there's a lot of people who don't know about the history of Grace Point at Bellwood. We, in fact, had a period of time where we had to move the service to five different locations in the span of 2 years. It was hard for the staff. It was hard for the church members. It was so stressful in those times. It also led to confusion, as people did not know what was going to happen. Are we going to have a service? Where are we going to go? But today, we're still together. And in fact, the church movement helped us to grow and depend on God in our prayers, in our worries, in our stressful times. So the church is not the building, but it's the people who gathers in God's name. Because there are people who believe if we enter a church building, it brings you closer to God. To spend time in silence and kneeling in a holy place, you're able to sense God, sense peace, and to find an inner peace, or even feel that you are so connected to God when you enter a building. You are able to be spiritually connected with Him. Some people believe that. Other people believe that if you give money to the church building, then you'll be right with God. That sounds more like blackmailing the church. And finally, the church is not the pastor. If the pastor is the church, what happens if the pastor decides to move on? Or has an accident and is crippled? Or God gives him another direction to do gospel work? Should the church just shut down? Yes, the pastor is the leader, but we have elders, which meets up, which is called a session in our denomination, which includes elders and pastors. And the session is to help to run the church. And the elders have the same role as the pastors, as the elders are able to teach and care for the flocks as well. The only difference between the pastor and the elder is that the pastor gets paid by the church, but the elders don't. Even then, the pastor and elders are under the chief shepherd. It's still Christ who leads the church. So we need to see the church belongs to Jesus, and we're all under His headship. And this includes members, leaders, elders, and pastors. So the church is not the pastor or the elder. So what is the church in the Old Testament? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, the church is a symbol of God's people to hear God's word, to hear God speaking the truth to His people. In Leviticus chapter 26, church is where God dwells with His people. We can also see the same definition of church in the New Testament, as we read Ephesians chapter 2, and other New Testament verses, which explains what is church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, a book of Acts talks about church, and the gospel, and where Jesus gathered the 12 disciples. So let's have a look at the end of chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19 to 22. In verse 19, it says, we're no longer foreigners, strangers or aliens, but we are God's people, fellow citizens, and in fact, members of God's household. We're no longer outside, but inside. No longer homeless, but having a home to stay. We're no longer second-class citizens, but have fellow citizenship in God's kingdom. Basically, we are part of the family, a member of God's household. Both the Gentiles and the Jews came together as one body, being part of the new covenant only made promise through Christ. As in Christ, we have a new humanity. We are all God's children. We are joined together to become God's temple, which is the church. And that church stands because of the people, but the work of Christ. And the church stands not because of the people, but the work of Christ. In verse 20, the church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. Together with Christ, we all form the church. Without Christ as the cornerstone, buildings will break, buildings will crack, and buildings will fall. The church won't last without Christ. So, the church is not the pastor, not the elders, or the leaders, and not about yourself. And let me say again, the church is to build on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of the church. So church is primarily a body of people who profess and gives evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, for His glory alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. A church is basically a collection of people committed to Christ. So why? So why joining a church is so important? Not sure about you, but I have received comments like the following. I don't have an issue with Jesus, but I have issue with the church. Or there's some people who believe in Jesus, but they don't think much of the church or going to church. Basically, some people have a low view of the church and being part of that community. I understand. People have these views because of past experience. It's the people in the churches can and have let people down for many reasons. But we need to remember that Christians can still make mistakes, intentionally or not intentionally. And we still have a sinful nature. So I understand some people have a low view of church. People in society also see church being judgmental, hypocrites, and self-righteous people. But as Christians, we need to remember this. What did Jesus leave behind? What did He leave behind? It was the church. And that's why we need to value it. And we need to commit to church and show the outside world what is a church and its role. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. So if Jesus is committed to the church, shouldn't we also be committed to it? Shouldn't we evaluate too, to glorify Him? I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why joining the church is important. As members, we are to glorify God. As Christians, we need to see joining a church is really to glorify God as we worship Him together. before, during, and even after church service. The way we treat church and all the way we live our lives can bring glory to our Father. We are reminded today we all belong to God's family. As we have been adopted by God as His children, so we are also adopted as a gathering, being together, being united. And the relationship that we have to which you are committing yourself is to bring glory to God. Not ourselves, but to God. So it means we can glorify God on a Sunday service, in our community groups, to discuss God's words, to talk about God's words, unpack His words, His message, to pray, to care for one another, and do life together, and even one-on-one discipleshiping, growing in God's word. These are all different ways that we can glorify God and worship Him. That His people can worship the Father is a glimpse of heaven in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 5. So as Christians, we have to commit to church, commit it to community group, together as one family, and to bring praises to God as we worship and glorify Him. As members, to expose false gospel. As we church with others, it's knowing and teaching others the truth of the gospel. So going to church helps us identify whether we believe any false gospel. Because it's so surprising how many people might think they are Christians and still follow traditions and cultures of this world. Even work-based attitude, thinking they're able to earn their way to heaven. So joining a church helps us commit to make the truth known to each other. But it's also to show the outside world we are not self-righteous people thinking we are perfect. We are far from it. But we are learning about God's work, about the gospel, and knowing the truth of the gospel. As members, to edify the church, which is helping or building up of others who are believers, who are committed to the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "So it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." It's everyone building the church up. Not just me or the leaders. It can be done by everyone in many ways. And there are many ways as members to grow others by teaching others in community groups, during one-on-one discipleshiping, teaching God's word on Sunday school. It's a good way to grow the children, the youth. And as members, we can encourage each other to edify God by what we talk about. Is it really general things that we have in conversations? Or do we talk about Christ-like issues? Do we grow with each other, encourage each other in that way? By praying for each other and even committing to our community groups. As members, to rebuking and discipline each other. And this is a hard one for some. I know a lot of people don't like conflict. But if we are going to grow and love each other, we also need to speak truthfully with love, especially to our sisters or brothers who are disobeying God's words, who are disobeying God's teaching. And finally, as members, we need to serve with each other, serve others. We need to join a church to serve one another just as Christ did. Christ came to earth not to be served but to serve others. We are here to serve one another, help and care for each other, And here are just some areas that we're able to edify the church, able to encourage, grow the church as members, as a Bellwood church. And the last example I have today is to evangelize to the world as members. We join a church to also show the world the church belongs to Jesus. Together we share the good news to the outsiders. And so we take the gospel to the world. We are promoting the gospel as one body. To take the gospel for those who have not yet heard it, making it visible to the world for the lives that we live as Christians. Those not yet saved may see us and may see something of the gospel. Society see how we love each other will identify us as followers of Christ. It's like what Jesus says. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And here are some reasons why we should join a church. So how do we play our part as members of church? Firstly, joining the church does matter. Because as citizens of God, we are being built together into God's church. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and we are part of the building block of the church. So the church does matter if we confess we are believing Christians. And you know what? That's the same with community group. It's more than one coming together and learning about God's word. So community group is like a little mini church in some sense. And we all have a role to play in our community group. It's not just the leaders or co-leaders doing everything. We all should take a part of it, being a part of it, being involved, helping each other, helping your leaders, helping each other to serve and to grow. So the members of the community group should also help and be engaged with the group. Care, encourage each other as members of the church. I remember this so clearly. As I visit a church, this is way back, as the music was playing, people were singing. There was only one instrument playing, as you can't miss the sound of an organ. It was this old man playing this organ. It was so nice to see this old man playing the organ, but serving. After the song finished, he got up and stood up front of the microphone and gave a couple of announcements regarding what's happening with the church. So I thought, wow, man, he's so involved in other ministries. And he's very active as an old man for this church. Then he stays standing up and starts reading the Bible. And then, if you haven't figured this out, he starts preaching the sermon. Makes me look very soft, as I found out he was a retired pastor, but still helping the church out. So do you think the church should be like that? Should be run by one person? Because maybe today we know that going to church is important and being involved to the church does matter. And being part of the church is to serve and to grow and to encourage each other. And if you're interested in serving, not sure where you'd like to serve out, see your leaders. Or maybe start helping your community group when you meet on a weekday, weeknight. Or you can speak to me if you want to help out on the Sunday service. Because as members of the church, we all serve one another so that God can be glorified. Maybe now being a Christian and you know that being Christian does involve others, but you might be selecting in who to serve or who to befriend with. This is not about hanging with your friends, who you're comfortable with, or who you're close with. Because you can always do that outside of church. And it's a good thing, don't get me wrong, it is a good thing to hang with your friends in peace. So at church, do we hang and talk to people who are fellow parents only? Do we hang only with others who are the same stage of life that we are in? Because if we do, then we need to rethink what is church is. Because as Christians, we are called to relate to everyone in the church. Do we only relate to people who we are comfortable with? Instead, we should say hi to new people who are just visiting the church, or people who doesn't do community group with you, or get to know people you haven't said hi for ages. Secondly, are we making new walls at church? Making new walls at church. All these walls are inside us. Let me explain it. The walls I'm talking about is our attitude and our character. It's our attitude and character. I'm talking about walls of pride, walls of jealousy, walls of envy, walls of unforgiving spirit, and so on. Are we letting these bricks build a new wall which separate us from God's family? We need to see these things are very offensive to Jesus. Because he has already broken the walls down. And now we are building new ones within the church. We need to stop this. Stop building personal walls in God's church. And let's take active steps to heal, to reconcile, and forgive each other as members of God's church. As we're here today, we have a new humanity in Christ, and we are all united. The church is for everyone who is a Christian under the headship of Jesus. So the church is not centered around us, but is a gathering of all believers. And we need to remember verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we know your Son is the cornerstone of the church and came to unite all people, Jews and Gentiles. So let's be a church community that has no walls and barriers. And we are to worship you as we come together. Amen.